Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael Penn, coming to you from the great state of Texas. I just recorded a podcast called The Prodigal Child, and this broadcast is an extension of that, and I'm calling this one The Prodigal Generation. I want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the Passion Translation beginning at verse 1. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. We're being attacked right now from everybody, from the government, from different societies and organizations, and even businesses. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. How often do you see this on the news or on social media? I see it on a daily basis. They will ignore their own families. Children have no respect for authority. They have no respect for adults, especially their parents. I can't stand to see these kids being disrespectful to their moms and dads in the stores. And it's almost like the parents are trying to negotiate with them and the child is in charge. Let me continue reading. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Oh, this is an ungrateful generation. And it most certainly is ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Social media, as much as I love it as a platform to encourage and inspire and influence in a positive way, the flip side of that is most of what's on social media is hateful and malicious slander, just like this verse says. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and what is right. There's another verse that says, "Woe to them that call good evil and evil good." And that goes right along with this verse. And that's the day that we're living in right now. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted, and wrapped in clouds of their own, of their own conceit. It's almost like there's a veil of deception and there's a mask, an opaque mask over the eyes of many people, not just in our country, but in this world. It's all about what every individual wants. There's no commonality of what is good for the masses. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the loving God. I can remember when I was younger that the church was the cornerstone of the community. The pastors, the teachers, they were held in the highest esteem above doctors and maybe even presidents in some cases. You know, we were, as Dr. King called it, the thermostat for the country, for the community. That is no longer the case. We're the ones that are attacked and are questioned and are sent to court if we don't turn over our sermons, etc. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. So these are the people that I call the pseudo-Christians, because they believe that they're Christians, but they're not Christians. Did you catch that? There's a difference. There's a difference between calling yourself a Christian and being a Christian that follows Christ and what the Word of God says. For they are the ones who worm their way into the hearts of vulnerable women, spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and steeped in sin. They are always learning, but never discover the revelation, knowledge of truth. My dad used to call these people, how did he put it? Let me see if I can get this right. Basically, what he was saying was they had all of this book knowledge, but it really didn't amount to anything. I forget exactly how he would say it, But that's what this verse is saying. It's like the smarter we get, the more technology we have, the more ignorant we've become. And it's very, very true. We're living in the last days. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back, but the signs are there. So in keeping with the previous podcast on the prodigal child and me calling this podcast the prodigal generation, what do I mean by that? Is this going to be a millennial bashing podcast? Absolutely not. This is not about millennials. This is about the people my age, 45 and up. I'm 54, but I'm talking about those 40, 45 year olds and up. We are the ones, really, who started the ball rolling for all of this crap that we're dealing with right now. My particular generation and the one right after me, I'm a baby boomer. I'm the last year of the baby boomers. I was born in 1964. And the generation right after me, we're the ones who in the 60s and 70s, when everything started coming out about abortion and free love, sleep with whoever you want to sleep with, take all the psychedelic drugs you want to take. You know, we were crazy. That whole Vietnam 60s, 70s era, we started that. Swingers, swinging, orgies, go to a party, put your keys in the bowl, see who you get to go home with. That was my generation. Now, we're the prodigal generation because we have not been honest and transparent with our children and our grandchildren. It is imperative to get rid of generational strongholds that we get to the root of why things are getting worse and not better. Because here's the deal. In Houston, Texas alone, there are thousands, I didn't say hundreds, I said thousands of churches. And yet we still have prostitutes walking up and down the streets in certain areas. Trafficking, we're the trafficking hub of the United States, the biggest one. Massive drug trade, massive. More gangs are created yearly. You name it, we've got it. Alcohol addiction, gambling addiction, pornography addiction, homelessness out the wazoo, high school kids living on the street, domestic violence, increase in crime, murders, rape, you name it. And with thousands of churches, why do we still have this problem? These problems, are we not praying enough? Are we doing what I call popcorn church, popcorn Christianity, which is a 1 hour show? Yeah, I'm getting for real right now. And I know this is not pleasant to hear, and I'm not talking about every church, and I'm not even talking about my own. You all know what I'm talking about. You all know what I'm talking about. We have become our own worst enemy. And if you're easily offended, you might as well go ahead and cut this podcast off right now, because now I'm really about to stick my foot in it. So for example, in predominantly black churches, most of the choir directors, you know where I'm going. Yep. And we say nothing about the homosexual lifestyle, and we continue to ordain, we continue to overlook. There's no accountability. I love my LGBTQ brothers and sisters. Why? Because they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. They are God's children. Yet, this is something that the Bible is clear on. That is not God's design. It is not God's way. Perhaps you struggled with that in college and you experimented. And that's why your child is attracted to somebody now and they're confused about it. And maybe had you had a conversation with your child and said, you know, I kind of went through that phase, and maybe that's why you're dealing with it. Let's pray about this and get rid of this stronghold in our family once and for all. It stops right now. If we can have those conversations, how healing could our world be? So maybe you weren't attracted to the same sex, but you were a ham dog and you were a hoe and you tried to sleep with everything under the sun. You had a problem with lust. Still, an issue is just as big of an issue as you have an attraction to the same sex. It's time for us to get real. None of us are perfect. We are all sinners, myself included. We all have our weaknesses, and the enemy knows what they are. And we have got to be transparent with our children and grandchildren. Now, I know some of you are shaking your head. Oh no, I can't tell them that. Well, it depends on what age your child is. Of course, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit about what to share. All I'm saying is, if we can have real conversations and stop trying to look like we've got it all together when we don't, that's going to bring the broken into our churches. And we can reach the broken outside of our churches. If we will be honest and say, you know what? I was in a gang. I was gang banging. I was riding dirty. I was selling dope. I was selling my body. I was doing what I had to survive. But you know what? Somebody showed me a way out. I'm not doing that anymore. Let me tell you about a man called Jesus. Can we have some real, authentic conversations with our young people? Can we stop trying to look like we're all Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way, when we are not? I mean, really, come on now. I remember I was wearing some too short skirts. I remember those days in college when my skirt was too short. There are pictures to prove it. I thought I burned all of them, but there's a few floating out there somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, how can we help other people when we have not been honest with ourselves? You can't talk about the speck, like the verse says, in someone else's eye when you have a beam, a plank in your own. It's time to get real. We're at the end. We've got to let the young people know. I struggled with this too. Let me help you pray. Let me help you get some medical attention, some psychological attention, whatever is needed and the Holy Spirit leads you to do. You need to do that. We need to jump on this now. It's 2019. It's time out for Mamsie Pamsie. Everything's perfect in my household. No, it's not. You were fighting on the way to church. Everybody knows it. Your children heard it. Come on now. We can no longer be a prodigal generation. We're the ones who caused dysfunction. We allowed the enemy in. We allowed the enemy in through our ear gates and our eye gates. We started watching more junk. We started listening to more junk. We believed the lies of the enemy, and we have basically messed up our own bloodline with continued junk when it could have been stopped if somebody would have just been honest. I remember a time when young girls got pregnant, they got sent away. They were shamed in front of the church, and if they weren't shamed in front of the church, they were sent away. Somewhere far, far away. Instead of saying, you know what? It would have been better to be married because that's what God wants. However, this child is a blessing. We're going to raise it together. I'm going to show you how to be a man of God. a good father. I'm going to show you how to be a woman of God, a good mother. Y'all, we are not perfect. We have got to stop acting like we are. Stuff happens. This is a real talk podcast, okay? About real stuff. Maybe you liked marijuana in college, and now you've got a kid that's drug addicted. Because here's what happens. The stronghold that your grandfather had, that your mama had, and you have, and now your kid has it, it seems to get a little deeper and a little worse through every single generation. It seems to get more prevalent, but it doesn't have to continue. It can stop with you. There are some things that we have control over. And anything that's out of control is not under God's control. It's time for us to get back under God's control. The enemy's gig is up. It's time out for him. We need to checkmate him, his behind, every chance we get. Enough. So I want you to really prayerfully consider the things that are going on in your marriage, with your children, and with your grandchildren. And is there anything you've done to contribute to that, that you need to confess, that you need to repent of, that you need to admit to, that you need to ask forgiveness for? This can all be turned around. It's not hopeless. No, it's not hopeless. There's always hope in Jesus. He died on the cross for all of our sins. We are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, hallelujah, there is a heaven, there is salvation, and there is hope. Now, if I haven't completely turned you off, I hope you got something out of that. Jesus loves you. And believe it or not, so do I. Be blessed.